There's several people in the room that wouldn't be here if not for the goodness of God and your faith in it. The goodness of God resides whether we receive it or not. And you know, I know a lot of times when we sing these songs, we think our imagination, which is what we've been studying for 2 weeks, right? Our imagination tries to steal that moment from us, that hope in us, and tries to take us back to, but this happened. Don't you let the enemy take your imagination. When God is trying to take you to a place of the goodness of God, it's running after me. Those words are building an image in you that the goodness of God is chasing you. And so your imagination, your flesh will try to take you back to something that happened that makes you think that's not true. If you're standing here today, it's the goodness of God. And if your loved one's in heaven, it's the goodness of God. And so we've got to bring our imagination into line when it tries to take us somewhere that the Word of God's not trying to take us. And every one of these songs was painting a picture for us, a future for us. And Dwayne's words were prophetic. I mean, I don't know if you felt the Spirit of God move in the room when he began to speak that or not, but that was not just Dwayne. That didn't even sound like Dwayne. Dwayne would have been up here talking about the election or something, but the Spirit of God rose up in him and spoke a word to you that you are supposed to be roaring like the lion of the tribe of Judah and shut up the one that seeks you as a roaring lion, seeking to devour you, and you become the roaring lion that Satan said. That was, woo! What a word. What a word. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Praise God. You can be seated if you can be. If not, you can remain on your knees or laid out wherever you are. All I want to know is why everybody decided to fill up that section and that section and not my section. I promise you, the second row can tell you my spit does not travel past the second row. You are safe to sit in the center or over here. But y'all look great. Y'all look great too, but y'all brought somebody with you or something today, and man, those sections are full. Balcony, you look great up there. Always good to have the balcony dwellers looking down upon us. Faith in the imagination, part two. I loved last week. I'm going to do a very brief review in case you weren't here. And while you're getting your Bibles out to Hebrews 11:1, Ladies Agape was phenomenal this year. Phenomenal. There were more people here at Ladies Agape, I think, than are in this room today. All women from several different states and several different churches. We had several churches represented here, even locally. And we appreciate everybody that came out because it makes a difference. As I say, it changes the DNA in the room. And we taught on the Holy Spirit all weekend. I don't know how many we had filled with the Spirit, but a bunch. And all the churches represented here, almost all the churches represented here were, I think with the exception of one, we had one that wasn't a Spirit-filled church, but she did let me know that even though her church was not Spirit-filled, she was. Amen. And so we had, it was somewhat surprising to me that we had that many Spirit-filled churches, that many people out of Spirit-filled churches that weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we taught it very simply. We taught the truth about him and who he is. And I think it brought them peace and comfort. And they came up and received the Holy Spirit. And it was a great day. So thank you to all. It takes a lot of people to make all those wheels turn, to make that event happen. We do it free. And that is you as a church giving into every single one of those women's lives, which will change homes, families, schools, community, politics, nations. And so we thank you as a church for supporting that, where we can do it free, where there is no reason for a woman not to come. And so thank you for sowing into that. And Tanya and the cooks, the kitchen crew, who fed 200 and probably 250-ish women beautifully. So thank you for that. All right. Last week we started off talking about faith and the imagination, and that God's imagination is not a New Age movement. It's not a New Age thing. They took it. It is God that created the imagination, that gave us the imagination. And it doesn't have to be a negative thing. In fact, we will not operate in faith without our imagination. It's how we see beyond the physical. It's you can't do it without it. It's an important part of your brain, and it is a part that God gave you. It's not mind over matter. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about looking in the Word of God, letting the Word of God paint a picture in our minds that's different than what we're living. It's what faith is. If you're going to have faith to be healed or faith to be used in the ministry, the works of Christ, you're going to have to start picturing yourself there, or you're never going to walk in it. And imagination is a part of that. So we had gone to Hebrews 11:1, and that's where I want to start off today. We're going to read it out of the Amplified if you're on a device. It says, now faith is the assurance, faith is the confirmation, faith is the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see. Do you understand what he just said? You don't see it with the natural eyes, but faith lets you see it through the eyes of faith. Your imagination. The picture that the Word of God has painted through His Word. I mean, I could sit here and I could describe my house to you. It's white. It's a farmhouse. It looks somewhat like a barn. It's very tall. It's got three sets of doors, wood and glass doors across the front with a front porch. It has a bronze-colored metal roof. There's a big white mutt sitting on the front porch named Charlie. And she will bark loudly if you come up the driveway. The driveway is gravel. It's a half a mile long. To get to it, you come through a black gate. If you have the code. And it's got lots of windows, lots of natural light. It is something similar to Hardy board, you know, with the ridges running up and down vertically. It has rock at the base of it. There is no lawn. It's pasture. Rusty has to mow part of the pasture. There's a big pond out in the front of it. There are newly grown trees around it that Rusty has diligently worked at. You, because of my words, even though you may not have the complete picture, you've got part of a picture of my home. Rusty is out there shooting his bow, and the arrows are going into a big round hay bale. It's deer season. I mean, the more words we add, the better picture we have. That's why God wants you to attend to His Word. He wants a better picture for you. He wants to paint you more of a vision of what it looks like to live in relationship with Him. Now, faith, which comes from the Word, right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things that we hope for, becomes the proof of the things we do not see and the conviction of their reality, because faith perceives as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. It's so powerful. We've got to get a hold of that. You may just need to take that and meditate on it. The things we hope for, that's what the imagination was created for. You can't have hope unless you begin to see something different. If you are hopeless in an area of your life, you're going to have to get in the Word of God and begin to see something different in order to have hope. If you're hopeless in your marriage, then you got to get in the Word of God and see what He says. That's right. If you're hopeless about the situation with your children, then you got to get in the Word of God in order to have hope. You can't keep seeing things the way you're seeing them and have hope. Seeing what you're seeing is not going to build hope. Seeing something different than what you're seeing is going to build hope. Right? So I want to encourage you to think about, is there an area that I'm lacking hope? Because it does not have to always be the way it is. It does not. Do not let the enemy lie to you. Faith is for that thing. If you know there's something in your life that needs changed, then you've got to start using the Word of God and let it paint an image on the inside of you. My dad used to call them faith images. They will build a different picture on the inside of you. Even when you can't see it, the faith becomes the reality. It becomes the title deed. It becomes the proof. Not what you're seeing with your eyes, not what you're hearing with your ears, but your faith becomes your title deed, your confidence, your proof. You begin to believe God's word more than you believe what you're seeing in front of you. That's a good day. It takes a little effort on our part, ladies and gentlemen. It takes a little effort. We have to control our imagination. We have to control our thoughts. It's the purpose for faith. And we need to take the imagination back. The devil is running rampant with people's imaginations right now. We talked about fantasy a lot last week, if you'll remember, the worlds of fantasy. We've got to take the imagination back for the purpose God had it. Both hope and faith in Hebrews 11 require seeing. And there is a little difference between hope and faith. Hope comes first, and then we develop into faith. But the proof of what we do not yet see in the physical and perceiving as real fact, what is not yet revealed to the senses, hope is like hearing about a place that you want to go to, and you kind of begin to Google it. I don't think Vicky's here today, but a friend of ours here at the church has been talking about she's going on a cruise in the next couple of weeks. And I thought, oh, where are you going? Well, you know, it kind of started building a hope in me. You know what you'll do? You'll start Googling it. You'll start looking at pictures of it. You'll start talking to other people who have been there, who are planning on going there. And you kind of have this hope of seeing it. But faith is when you see yourself going to the point of booking the flight, to living your life going. And so you need your imagination for that. You can't have faith without it. Both steps require your imagination. I think we forget how powerful God sees our imagination. So I want to take you back. It's a negative, but I want to take you back and show you how powerful God sees the imagination of mankind. And to do that, we're going to go to Genesis 11. And you're probably very familiar with the story if you grew up in Sunday school with a flannel graph board, as those of us 50 and over did. Genesis 11. I'm going to start reading in verse 1 out of the King James Version. It says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another," oh, how was this picture going to be painted? They said to one another. You know, words can transfer images. God's word can transfer an image into you, and our words can transfer images into other people. Dwayne did it a while ago. We can encourage one another. We can build images in one another according to the word of God. These people are going to use it on the negative. They said to one another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, look, the people are one. And they have all one language. There's so many lessons in this. I'm going to try not to get sidetracked. And this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. This is without the anointing of God. This is the imagination in the heart of mankind. I'm not even talking about it being based off the word of God and having God's anointing on it. This is just mankind determined to do something, putting their imagination and their unity into it. And God said that nothing would be restrained from them which they had imagined to do. It might be important that we control our imaginations, that we guide them in the right direction. And so God said, go to, let us go down and confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. That shows the importance of our words and the imagination. This account always captivates me. First of all, the power of their imagination, nothing will be restrained from them, and then the role of their language and their words in casting and forming the imagination. What if we take the word of God and we speak it to ourselves and we speak it to each other and we come united? This is what the prayer of agreement is, by the way. We become united in the image that God is casting forth, either us in our mind being united, our spirit in our mind, or us and another believer being united on the imagination. Do you not think it would at least do the same thing that happened here in the heart of mankind without God? Absolutely. So this puts also a huge importance on what we hear. Because there's a world of things out there trying to paint images to us. This is what marriage is or isn't. This is what your gender is or isn't. This is what home is or isn't. This is what money is or isn't. I mean, we could just, and we talked last week a little bit about the medical commercials, just constant attack of words on trying to get you to see yourself with the condition that they're wanting to medicate. And so we need to pay attention to what's being painted in our minds. It's a huge importance on taking heed what you hear, because what you're hearing is painting an image. And so when he started taking me in that direction, which I did not plan for until it came to me this morning, so I believe it is for us, a rhema word for us today. Go with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified first. We talked at Ladies Agape a little bit about having ears to hear. This is one of those passages. If it sounds familiar to you, ladies, we talked about that phrase. If any man has ears to hear, verse 23, let him be listening and let him perceive and comprehend. Perceive has a seeing to it. Let him perceive and comprehend. And he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, by the way, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. Now, the reason we can't see what God's word said is because we have not had ears to hear and we have not been giving it our thought. We have not been perceiving. If we can't see what God's word is saying yet, we haven't given it enough thought and perception. And we said this last week, I think. See yourself in the Word. When you read the Word, see it like a movie or illustrate it in your mind, I believe is the one way we put it. When you read the book, illustrate yourself in that passage. Find yourself in the Word and begin to see yourself in the Word. And that's going to determine, to the degree you do that, what you get out of it. Well, I read the Word and I just don't understand it. You're not putting yourself in it. Keep doing it and keep putting yourself in it. Because we have a promise right here that the measure of thought and study that we give to the truth we hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that we get from it. That's huge. Having ears to hear is more than audio.
Yeah, that's right.
Having ears to hear is more than audio. Well, I keep the Word playing. I keep Bible app going. And that's great because we will pick up on it. But if we don't stop and perceive it, meditate the Word. We talked about the word meditation from Joshua 1:8 last week. If we don't stop and think on it, perceive it, then we're missing a huge part of it. When I put this in my notes in the Amplified, I love the parentheses. And I thought I would go back and check the accuracy of the Amplified on those words in parentheses and make sure that it's lining up with the Strong's Concordance, the Greek Concordance. And I'm telling you, that was the Holy Spirit's prompting, because sometimes there's these simple little words, and when you scroll of them on my computer program and it pops that Greek meaning up there, sometimes you see something that you can't unsee. I gave it my thought and my attention, and let me tell you what I got back out of it. So I started scrolling down the words, and I got to the words, take heed. Mark 4:24 out of the King James Version, take heed what you hear. And it is the Greek word blepo, B-L-E-P-O, which y'all probably never need to know how to spell, but there you go. It's number 991. And it means to look at. Take heed what you hear. Look at what you hear. Look at what you hear. Let me put it in here. Mark 4:23, Amplified. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him perceive and comprehend. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. Look at what you hear. See what you're hearing. Y'all aren't near as excited about that as I was. See what you hear. When you're reading the scripture, see what you hear, because the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure that comes back to you. You know, we talked last week about biblical meditation from Joshua 1:8, and I thought, you know, this week we just need to work on building what we hope for. Building what we hope for. What do you hope for? What do you hope for? We need to find scripture on that, and we need to look at what we're hearing and begin to build. We talked last week about vision boards, building what we hope for, giving it your attention, giving it your thought, giving it your study, and seeing what you hear. And then not only does he say it'll measure back to you, but he says, and more besides will be given to you who hear. And if you were at Ladies Agape, you're going to get this phrase. But wait, there's more. So what you're getting and what you're seeing and what you're putting your attention on, stay on it. Because wait, there's more. He's going to give you more. When you put forth the effort and you say, God, I want to see this. I found this in your word, and I want to see this in my life. He's going to show you that and more. We never reach The end of God's revelation knowledge. We don't exhaust it. So that's the beauty and the fun of growing in our Christianity is going from glory to glory, right? I want to go to 2 Corinthians 10 because it deals with imaginations. And we study this a lot when we're talking about the negative side of imaginations. And I think it's important for us to cover, even though we're going more on the positive side of imagination these couple of weeks, because a lot of times we have to get rid of some negative imaginations in order to see the positive things. Because negative imaginations are very powerful. And this passage calls them strongholds. And so I want to deal with that as we continue this study. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to read it to you out of the King James Version. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. And I think this is important for us to remember because a lot of times we try to willpower things out of our minds. I'm not going to think it. And just in saying I'm not going to think it, I'm thinking it. You know, it's like, I'm not going to think that way. And I think it's okay to say that, but I think it's more powerful to say, this is what I'm going to think. Right? Philippians 4. I'm going to think on things that are praiseworthy and noble and virtuous. And I think it's more important to go on the positive than to beat against the flesh. I'm not going to think it. No, this is what I'm going to think. And that'll help you go on a positive path instead of the negative. Because to me, that just brings up what I'm not going to think. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal or simply of the flesh and the mind, but they are mighty through God, they are powerful through God. The weapons he's given us to deal with our minds are mighty through God. I say it, I'm going to say it again, I'll probably always say it from now on. Your thinking does not have to be terminal. We can change how we think. That memory, that thing, that stronghold, that image that you have in your mind that is not of God does not have to always exist in your mind. Does not. And you've tried to beat it in the flesh, but he's trying to tell us there is a way that we can handle thoughts, imaginations, strongholds, that is mighty through God. Not mighty through you, mighty through God. It says, to the pulling down of strongholds. And I know a lot of people have said this when they teach this, but it bears repeating. A stronghold can either be a prison or a fortress. What we want to do is we want to build strongholds of the word which protect us from thoughts that come against us, from imaginations that come against us. We want to build the right imaginations so that, okay, let's just say the thought that you're forgiven. If you build a stronghold in your mind that you are forgiven and that you are righteous. It came to you as a gift through Jesus Christ. He gave you your right standing with God. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. He gave it to you. If you can get that through your head, that your righteousness is of Jesus Christ and not of your actions, then when things come against that, you have a fortress built. And when guilt and shame, have you ever had anybody bing up your past? It is perfectly fine for you to say, mm-mm. No. That's under the blood. Amen. If you want to talk about that, you're going to have to go talk to God about it because that is not in my wheelhouse anymore. Amen. That is not who I am. So you're going to have things come against the fortress that you built, but you're in a fortress. Fortified. It's a secure place for you. Secure place for your mind. And when somebody brings up something that, or they bring up a subject that brings up something sensitive to you, right? Like maybe you were messed with. you know, when you were younger in a wrong way. And somebody just brings up the subject, not about you, but they just bring, and it starts bringing these things back to you. No, I've built a fortress. Yeah. I built a fortress. And you can run into that fortress. Or those thoughts, images that you have in you can be a prison. And the things of the past can be a prison that are holding you captive. That's what we're talking about destroying. It says that God's word, his way, his weapons of warfare will destroy. But mighty through God to the pulling down. When you look it up and the casting down, it's not just talking about, we're talking about getting rid of them. We're talking about cleaning up our mind to where what's there is what God sees us being. Not who we saw ourselves or how we see ourselves or how somebody else saw us, but how God sees us is what's left. Mighty through God to the pulling down of those strongholds. Casting down imaginations. So I'm telling you, some of you have seen some things that you need to unsee. By the power of God, you can. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This takes some doing on our part. It takes some speaking on our part. But I'm telling you, on your speaking, don't go to the negative on the speaking. Go to the positive. When it says bringing into captivity every thought, I can't remember which version it was, but one of them said leading every thought. So when you're taking authority over imaginations or thoughts in your mind, don't just take authority over, I'm forgiven and I, you know, blah, blah, blah. But take it to where God's leading you. I am free from this. I am free. Take it and lead. Let it lead to the obedience of Christ. Don't just, I'm not. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am. And put those words in there that lead you to, and don't just make it all, you know what I mean, fighting from the negative? But let it lead you to the obedience of Christ. Engage your imagination. I said it last week, I'm going to say it again. Engage your imagination in your study of the Word of God. It is crucial that we do that if we're going to change what's in there and make it what God wants it to be, and that's full of His Word and His image and who He's called us to be and the promises that He's given us and the things that He has you to do in the body of Christ and the things that He has you to do in the world. Begin to imagine those things. Go with me to Romans 12. We may have to come back to 2 Corinthians 10 at some point and get more detailed on the wording, but look at what you hear. Romans 12, I'm reading out the King James Version. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I can't remember which version it is. I think it's the Amplified that talks about us. It is the Amplified. I think it's in your notes that way. Make a decisive dedication. Decide to. Right now, right here, with whatever God's dealing with you about in your mind, make a decisive dedication. Decide to dedicate your bodies, Amplified says, presenting all your members and faculties, your thoughts, your desires, your imagination, present them as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God. I think some people need to do that. I think I need to do that. We all need to do that. He wouldn't have told us to. We need to present our imagination, our thoughts, our minds to God as a living sacrifice. He didn't want you to kill your brain. This is a living sacrifice. He just wants us to use it in the right direction. He didn't want you to kill your body. He wants you to present it as a living sacrifice so that you use it for what he's called you to use it for. Present your body. Present your bodies. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. And I realize that it's all talking a lot about the culture around us, but sometimes it's not being conformed to our experiences. Don't let what life you've lived, what's happened to you, decide your future. Don't let it conform you. Don't let it, that word, it's like Play-Doh in a mold. You know, taking shape, being forced into a shape. He's like, no, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, metamorphosed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind can be renewed. My mind can be renewed. My mind can be renewed. The way I'm thinking about things can be changed. The unforgiveness can become forgiveness. Well, you don't look. Tough things happen. Horrible things happen. But I don't want those things to form me. I want God's word to form me. And I cannot hold on to their words, their actions, and it not affect me. I can't. I can't hold it and carry it with me and it not affect my decisions. How I see things. If what happened to me is in my imagination. Oh, y'all. This morning, as I was getting ready, I was listening to some teaching along this line. And the guy, this is the only thing I got out of what he said. But when he said it, I was like, ding, 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 ding. It was highlighted. Memory is an imagination. Think about it. I mean, we know that, but when he said it, memory is an imagination. Look, to forget something is not saying it didn't happen. It's just that I am not going to let that memory live throughout my life in my imagination. That's where it lives. If you didn't have an imagination, you couldn't replay it. Your imagination is what gives you the ability to replay those hurtful moments, those hurtful words. And we talk about this a lot, replaying that movie of things that's happened to us. That's in your imagination. We're talking about casting down, destroying imaginations. Well, I can forgive, but I just can't forget. Stop it. You are choosing. We have chosen to stir back up in our imagination those things that God has tried to put in our past.
Yep. Come on, that's good.
Because we feel like if we don't remember, we're not punishing. Memory is an imagination. Memory can be a blessing. We should use it. I thought back at David, and I think this was mentioned at Ladies Agape is probably what brought it to mind. When David was facing Goliath, he remembered that God had helped him defeat the lion. He had helped him defeat the bear. And that imagination helped his faith. I thought about when Paul wrote Timothy, and he said, look, I'll use this on you because they happen to be sitting over here. I knew your mother and I knew your grandmother and their unfeigned faith. And I know what resided in them also resides in you. You know what that did for Timothy? He was casting an image with his words. So imagination is of history can be very good. But if it is not, you have every right to lose it. You have every right to lose it. It can be a blessing or it can be a curse on your course, is the way God said it to me. If the memory is a curse on your course, then it's influencing your decisions and it's influencing your future. If we realize any memory, any imagination is trying to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, against the Word of God, against the image that God has of you, then you have a right to cast down that image. What happened did happen, but it can only still be happening to you if you live in the prison of the memory. And you can't beat that with your own willpower. You need the supernatural weapons of the Word of God to pull down that imagination. And then you build up. And actually, you may have to do this first. Build up imaginations that exalt the knowledge of God. And lead your thoughts to Christ. Replace and renew what you are picturing. Present your faculties to God. Sacrifice them means give them up. I am this way because this happened to me. Doesn't fly when you look at the Word of God. Don't let it make you who you are. God's got more. He's got freedom. He's got more. I want to take a moment to have Ricardo, I'll get Ricardo prepared. Just to play some instrumental, Ricardo or Tanya, whoever's got control of that. Just to play some instrumental. If y'all will just stand with me. I felt real impressed to do this today, that we needed to present our imaginations to God. And it's not saying that, you know, I'm not saying it's anything that anybody in here, you know, it may be horrific and you would not want it put on the big screen. It might be something pitiful and you wouldn't mind it being on the big screen. It might be something small. I think every single Christian needs to present their faculties to God as a living sacrifice. And as I began to challenge myself about the things that I had not, images that I had not let go of, can I just be transparent? I've watched my son be killed over and over and over again. You know, because through mock trials and things, I had to watch footage. And so every time we would have a mock trial, I would spiral because I would have to see with my eyes. And some part of me has never let go of that. Almost like if I let go of that, I was forgetting. I know y'all understand these moments. We gotta let go of those. What we choose to see is Cassandra and Wade before the throne of God. As you saw him, Mary, in your dream, years before, in paradise, and how beautiful he was. Oh, he thought he was pretty on earth, don't get me wrong. The boy thought he was pretty. Now he is spotless, without blemish. As God created the human body to be, as Adam and Eve walked in the Garden of Eden. See, I have to make a mind shift of, okay, that image is not God's image. I've got to switch to God's image, or what what would you even call that? I don't even know what you would call why you would want to even hold on to what happened to you. You know, it could be big, it could be small. I just use myself because that's what God brought to my mind. You can't go there. You can't go there. That's not where I put you to live. That's not the visuals that my word paints to you. So, you know, let's just take a moment of quietness. And just as this music plays, Tanya, just even turn down the lights just a little bit, if you will. I don't want to see people right now I don't want us to think about who's next to us. I want you to know these steps are open to you as altars. And if you need to present yourself, sometimes I have to do things in a physical form. Bow my knee physically in order to represent what I'm willing to do. And there's other things in my life that have happened, you know, that are not quite so public, that I just need to go, you know what? This isn't worth it. This is not. God has so much more for me. And present our imaginations. If you have a burning imagination that has troubled you, this is your moment. If you want me to pray with you, Dylan to pray with you, John to pray with you, just come up here and stand if you want us to pray with you. But if you want to kneel, kneel. If you want to stay where you are, stay where you are. But let's let God deal with us a minute. This is a good day. This is a good day. This is a freedom day. Amen. So, Father, we come right now to present. We come right now to present all of our faculties. All of our faculties. Any memory, any imagination, whether it's porn, whether it's a memory, whether it's an act by somebody else, anything that has tried to project our lives in a certain direction. Father, we submit those things to you. We submit them to you. Father, we choose to use our imaginations, our thoughts, our words according to your will and according to your purpose.